This episode is brought to you by Bellatoris Publishing, bringing stories to the world that last forever.
Today on Faithfully Fantasy.
The letter that Theophany says, "Why don't you just ask me?" I know the answer. I think she knows the answer because it happened with Lilith.
Maybe Theophany was the one who made a channel, and then Theophany was her sage because she is doing exactly the same journey that her father was doing. Maybe she's into something that Violet doesn't know yet, but Marhan maybe knows, because that's precisely one of the reasons that maybe Daddy Sorangel has to be eliminated.
Are we just going to ignore this as a foreshadowing? Is Zayden going to have to kill Bodhi?
Hello and welcome to Faithfully Fantasy,
the husband and wife podcast talking all things Onyx Storm.
I'm JC.
And I'm Sean.
And today we cover chapters 43 to 45. And just heads up, we use a strong language, express passionate opinions, and explore complex themes.
This episode will contain spoilers from all three books, as well as snippets of information we've had from Rebecca Yarros since the release of the third book.
And before we start with a squad brief, quick reminder, you can now subscribe for exclusive content. Think early access to episodes, bonus episodes every month, and totally ad-free listening. You can even try it for free and cancel anytime. For the best deal, check out our website, faithfullyfantasy.com, or if it's easier, you subscribe right on Spotify or Apple Podcasts for instant access.
Also, if you're enjoying the show, take a second to rate us wherever you're listening. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, all of it. It helps more fantasy lovers find us, and it's one of the easiest ways to support what we do. A quick tap and you've made our day.
And now, without further ado, let's get into a squad brief.
This week, lightning strikes with Riddick, but we manage to convince him that Zayden isn't the enemy, but it's on Riddick's terms. We're done with the Isles. The mission failed. We make it back to Basgaiath, and Kat is not only a step closer to home, but one step closer to being queen. Queen Moriah is dead. We get more hints about Violet's second signet, bring back Violet's questionable flight manoeuvres from Fourth Wing, celebrate our Shadow Daddy's birthday, and are reunited with our old friend Felix.
Well, we're getting closer to the end, and now we're going back to Basgaiath.
Yeah. I don't feel like a lot happens in these chapters, but we do get some hints, I think, about what might come in the next book.
Yes, I believe exactly the same too. Time for a history lesson. Let's dive deep and see what is the past is hiding about the future.
Chapter 43, Epigraph. If possible, hunt the enemy during the day. Their markings are so easily hidden by the shadows of night that it would not surprise me to find they walk among us. Venin, a compendium by Captain Drake Cordella, the Nightwing Drift. So, does this mean they only walk among them in the night? I don't think it does. I think it means they are, like, always around them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's too hard to spot them at nighttime.
It's a little bit complicated, because what does it mean? Like, physically, you can notice the difference of the venom when it's in daytime. Maybe you can see more like the veins or something.
If you look really closely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because this just makes me wonder, is there any other character we only see at nighttime and we haven't noticed yet? And this is maybe like a hint.
Ooh, to, yeah, maybe
tell
good.
Us that, yes, this person is more likely to be a venom.
Oh, I wish you told me that before. I could have done some research.
I'm still in my rereading or everything, so I'm going to keep an eye on this kind of stuff as well.
Yeah. Also, just isn't it funny that Drake is the expert and he hasn't managed to spot that he is traveling with a venom? I find that so funny. Drake, yeah. He's quite clearly distracted by a certain Mira Sorengel, I think. He's not looking. He just does not believe that Zayden would be venom.
Yes. He probably think, because Zaydan has been always fighting against the Venom, that maybe for him it's just unthinkable that Zaydan will channel to turn into the stuff that he's been fighting for so many years.
Yeah, yeah. Also, this epigraph made me think about when Zaydan asked Violet to, or not asked her, he tried to teach her the difference between his shadows and the night shadows, that kind of, they're harder to find in the dark, but she, but Zaydan needs Violet to be able to find him.
Yes.
So this is a bit of a throwback to that.
Yeah. So a little bit suspicious, because I used to think that, yes, it's just because he's a shadow wielder. But now this epigraph is like relating Venom with shadows or darkness.
Dark wielders.
Yes. So maybe that's the hint, because they are dark wielders. They wield the dark as well, somehow, like a laser magic for the Venom.
Can't be seen.
Yes.
So we're in the forest, and Violet is doing her absolute best to convince Riddick that Zaydan is a good person. She's saying, Basgaius would have fallen if he didn't kill the sage. But he didn't kill the sage. Just nobody knows yet. I keep forgetting on this reread that they still think the sage is dead.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a little bit strange, because we're saying that Zaydan, he just turned to Venom to protect Violet. But in that moment, he was basically trying to survive. So maybe he was thinking he will die and that will kill Violet. But when he defeated, and it's going to say, Berwyn, nothing changed for the exterior, because the Venom, the Wyvern, they're still fighting. They didn't even knew what happened in that fight with Berwyn and Zaydan. So he didn't change anything for the other people. It's not like, oh, the leader is dead, then the other ones are retreating or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. It was the wards coming back in that stopped everything.
Yes.
Yeah. But we knew the sage wasn't dead. I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we, from the first time that we read Iron Flame, we knew that he will come back somehow, somewhere.
Yeah, when someone dies off screen, it's not really a death, is it? We learn via Riddick. This is where Riddick's research and all the stuff that he was doing comes into play. So we learn that an Asim is no longer physically able to deny the call of a sage. And this is really, really important, because Berwyn later, and we'll talk about the dream later, but Berwyn says he has ways of making Zaydan comply.
Mm-hmm.
But this is kind of evidence that an Asim is not able to resist the call of the sage. Zaydan isn't an Asim yet, but by the end of this book he is. So is this kind of foreshadowing that the next book Zaydan will have to do the bidding of the sage, whether he wants to or not? He's going to have no choice but to do it.
That's going to be the interesting part for me, if he's going to do it even when he doesn't want to do it, or he's going to do it and he just had no objects about it. He just do it.
Yeah.
Like, soulless by this point.
Also, Riddick says that there's no recorded cases of initiates walking away. Mm-hmm. So every single initiate either died or progressed to Asim. Do we think there's any initiates that are still under control or walked away?
That epigraph about, there is no cure, there's only control. Somebody has to be in this point. It's just delaying. There's maybe it's not completely an Asim. So at this point, I don't know if we were talking about Lilith or could be Brennan, or maybe they were talking about Jack.
I think Lilith walked away. I think she channeled once.
Mm-hmm.
I think she walked away. I think we've got proof that she channeled once. The story on presentation day.
That is the most suspicious story from the Imperium series. And that's the thing that made me think constantly, she was a Venom, or she is.
She's not a Venom. She's dead. She's definitely dead, but I do think she walked away.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Theophany, and we'll get to it, the letter, but it is worth talking about now. The letter that Theophany says, why don't you just ask me? I know the answer. Mm-hmm. I think she knows the answer because Lilith, it happened with Lilith.
Yeah.
They were so connected, weren't they? That I think that's how she knows how to either walk away or what the control is.
Yeah, maybe Theophany was the one who made a channel, and then Theophany was her sage.
And yeah, and trying to get her.
And she
so she knows how she resists it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I think. Because I am convinced that Lilith channeled, but I am also convinced that Lilith is not a Venon, mm-hmm. or was not a Venon at the time of death. She wouldn't have been able to mm-hmm. die that way, surely. Anyway, we'll get to that a bit, and I'll say it again. I'll really want to hammer home that point today. I'm also surprised that more riders don't reach for the power to save people they love. Mm-hmm. It just feels like, I don't know who wouldn't do it. It's weird that Violet wouldn't do it. Like, if there was any threat to my children, or you, or my parents, or my sister, like, those people that you just could not live without, mm-hmm. of course I would steal the magic.
Well, Violet, she was a little bit, like, under temptation when she was
put on the power. But she didn't do it. So, does that make me a bad person? Yeah, it probably does, doesn't it?
It's true. Well, you would be a Venon.
If my family and friends were in danger, yeah, I'm pretty sure I would.
I mean, if that's the only way to save them, basically just sacrificing yourself because your humanity or everything that makes you, it will die when you turn into a Venon.
Yeah, so how is it that more Venon are not doing that?
More riders.
Riders, yeah, but more Venon aren't the same as Zayden.
Yeah. I don't know if it has to be something about the signet. If your signet is not that powerful, maybe you are not so aware about the power within the ground. Because with Jack, he has to find a Venon to teach him how to channel from the ground and everything. But Zayden and Violet, they are like aware of the power. They can see it. They can feel it.
Mm.
So I don't know if maybe the more power you have, the more power you can see around.
Yeah.
Like Tern was saying to Violet, they know that she holds more power. She is aware about the power that is beyond the walls.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. So Violet still believes there's a cure, even though she's been told that there isn't a cure by the Irids, and she's talking to Riddick, she's like saying, I've only had like a few minutes to process that. I still believe there's a cure. I just want to say that I am firmly in Violet's camp. I just don't want anyone to ruin this for me. I believe there's a cure. There's got to be a cure. I mean, what this book series, if there's no cure, like the cure is no magic for anyone.
I'm going to stick with what we said last episode. If you are trying to empower because you are just greedy, then yes, your soul dies and there's no cure for that.
Mm.
But again, in Satan's case, it's not the soul that's been affected. So I think in his case, there will be a cure.
Yeah, agreed. She says, in some dark wielder's head, or in some forgotten book. I think they'll be both. I think we've got Theophany, obviously, annoyingly, she didn't ask her, even though this is where Violet frustrates me in this book. Just as one thing. She is desperate for a cure. She is scouring the continent, although she didn't ask in some of the places. Like, she only went to see if the Irids were there. So she wasn't, like, really asking, was she? She knows there's somebody on the continent. She could have, like, while she was fighting her, just got it out of her. You know how villains love to talk? They love to have their monologues. Just get it out of her at that point. Why wouldn't she? She was so desperate for it. Why wouldn't she get it out of Theophany?
Yes, plus has been a couple of times that Theophany is saying, I know the answer for the question that you're looking for somewhere else. So just come here and ask me. So why not just like, oh, well, fuck it. I'm going to see what she can tell me and...
I don't think she would ultimately tell her. I think she would be like, channel and I'll tell you. Channel, reach for it and I'll tell you. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe Violet does know that. we don't see her push Theophany in that direction.
Or come with idea like she did in Herodotus to, okay, turn the stuff at her advantage.
Yeah, which she could do.
Yeah.
But she's scared of Theophany, isn't she? So.
Yeah, so I think for Violet, the thing that is more, is the most scary thing for Violet, that she thinks Theophany is a lightning wielder, that she's been decades just training that power. Mm-hmm. And she knows that she is not much for such a great power.
Yeah. Talking about lightning, Violet strikes the tree. And Riddick, not Riddick being like, oh shit, now that's going to be worse. Zayden's going to think we're doing something.
Which is confirmation that now they know every time there was lightning randomly is because she is with Zayden.
Yeah, they know. Oh, how awkward.
Yes, but I love that part when Zayden is just
there. It's not big enough strike.
And Riddick is just like, just to be clear, we're not doing anything to provoke that. And Zayden like, yes, I know.
I trust Violet. Secondly, it wasn't a big enough strike. Yeah. This is also the part of the book where we get another one of the, one of the quotes Rebecca Yarros shared before the book was out. So it was the "I will save him" quote, and it was replaced as, it was "I will not die today" crossed out of the Book of Brennan. "I will save him." Interestingly, Violet doesn't seem to be winning this argument at this point, so she hasn't managed to convince Riddick. So she does a 180 and she changes tact, which is quite clever. She's like, we have to keep him on our side. Imagine if he goes to the other side, we're all absolutely fucked. And this is like a change in direction. She's like, I can't convince him that he's still a good person, so I will convince him we have to keep him on our side. Because it's like, keep your friends close, but keep your enemies closer type argument.
Yeah, because she even said, and you think that, yes, my sickness is really powerful, but I can't do the same stuff that he can do because he is more advanced in the training and everything.
And he's got shadows. Like, he is really powerful. And I genuinely do think that his sickness is more powerful than Violet's.
Yeah, I'm not sure what would happen if she tried to strike him with a lightning, if he makes like a shield with shadows. Will this go through the shadows?
Oh, maybe. Because
light against, you know, shadows. So that is the only thing that I can give it to Violet. She has just one strike, but it's like the strike.
Yeah, and she is getting better, isn't she? Like, yes. Previously, you would like think she was not that powerful because she couldn't control it.
Yeah, before she was more like a cowboy. So she was just like shooting everywhere, hoping that she will hit something.
Well, like Bugsy Malone.
Yeah, but now she is just like
pies. Sorry.
She's not like a proper sniper. So one lightning, one death.
Yeah. Riddick gives her an ultimatum and says, all the people that currently know are on Zayden's side. So they're going to take his side, even though Violet tries to convince them they're actually not. They are trying to convince her to run. But he says, where's the line? Like, you've got to set a line. And she says, if he hurts me. And I actually asked our listeners whether this line was a good line to set. And they overwhelmingly agreed that it was. It was like 80% agreed that this was a good line. Mm-hmm. I was questioning it because two things. Yes, like, if he hurts her, he has gone too far. But he might not hurt her because most Venin they want to keep her alive. Mm-hmm. Although a lot of people pointed out to me that the Venin still want to hurt her. They just don't want to kill her. So I get that. Mm-hmm. I wasn't managed to be convinced that it probably is an okay line. But I do feel like if he hurts someone close to me, would have probably been a safer line, would have been a better line. But I'm not sure if you turned Venin, mm-hmm. The better line for me to set would be if you hurt someone you love that isn't me, because the Venin don't want to kill me. Mm. So like if you hurt your family, if you hurt your children, that type of thing would be the line for me, not if you hurt me.
Yeah.
Only if the venom were also after me. Like, just to be clear.
Yeah. I guess maybe Violet thinks there is more than one way to hurt, not just physically, but emotionally as well. Like if Zaydan takes Violet and put in like a trap and then he's the one who delivered her to the venom. So or if physically, it's not hurting her.
If he throws his birthday present in her, back in her face. Like emotional hurt.
Yeah.
What? I thought it was nice. I don't want this shit thrown at the face.
No, before, you had to receive? No. You want the shit?
I'm not sure you could get a receipt from for what she gave him for his birthday. So Zaydan arrives at this point. I think Riddick's kind of convinced though, isn't he? He's saying you've got to tell Rhee, Sawyer, Jessenia. That's it.
Yeah.
But Zaydan kind of agrees with Riddick's ultimatum and he's like, yeah, fair enough. That's fine. Do you want me to tell Brennan as well? And we later find out he does go and tell Brennan, if Brennan didn't already know. But Zaydan
as well. Wants to turn to Darren and I, nope, not here.
Yeah, so this is interesting, that bit, because nobody trusts Dane still. I do, but nobody, you don't.
No, not fully. I'm still thinking there will come something that he's just preparing. I don't know if I intentionally... That's the thing that I want to make clear. I don't know if he's
just
going to
fuck up because he's an idiot.
Like he's going to be as bad or worse than the dad, or is the dad who is controlling him? So he's just a puppet that he doesn't know what he's doing and then he just reacts. You know, like the asking with the sage.
Yeah. This is interesting because the biggest argument against Dane being bad is that Zaydan reads his intentions and trusts him.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't trust him, but he trusts him enough to say, what about Dane? So if he is being controlled, which I know we've talked about this before, but if he is being controlled, you wouldn't have the intentions of a bad person.
Yes.
So that would be a way of like bypassing Zayden's
intense skills. Yeah.
That's interesting. Not thought about it like that. Because that's the biggest argument against it whenever.
Yeah, but even we're talking about this and this bonus episode that we had about it. At the moment that when Zaydan was reading the intentions, his intention was take Violet out.
Yeah, get Violet out of here.
Yeah, that was like the present. I need to take her out. I need to keep her safe because she's important for the mission that we're doing right now, whatever.
Yeah.
That was the intention still.
Yeah,
a valid point.
She's important to keep alive for the Venom.
Yes.
Yeah. But I do think that he is en route to redemption.
Yeah, I think maybe it will be more painful for the readers if we find out in the end that he is doing bad things, but it's not because it's his fault. He's being mind control or something.
Yeah, by Kath, and he has to kill Kath.
The dragon or the father, because there's still something going on with General Athos and the Venom.
Oh my God, he's an idiot, isn't he? Right, anyway, moving on. So Zaydan thinks he's the reason the mission failed. We came all this way and I shouldn't have come. I've ruined it. Mm-hmm. I genuinely do think he made the difference with Leothan. I still keep coming back to this. I think that the fact that Violet wants to cure him and not kill him and is still able to love him even though he has turned venom, I do think that shows that that humans have evolved and it's not all about kill. Although Violet does do her fair share of killing, I think it's an important sign and I do think it makes a difference. So anyway, that's the end of our Isle trip. It's the end of our holiday. Holiday's over, guys. Have to go home. So on the way back, they mention that they don't think Theophany is going to know where she is, but then again, she shouldn't have known where she was the last time. How did she always know where they were? How do you think she knows where they are?
That's an interesting question, because if you remember the very first time we saw Theophany in this book, she was in Basgayath. Violet saw her for a few seconds and then she just disappeared, just like that. And we saw that behavior as well with Berwyn when they were about to attack Rhysand. He is the one who disappears. So it's like they are distance wielded, because and this Essien, she was basically following them and she managed to arrive first in Basgayath before then, and she delivered a letter. So how she's doing that?
Well, we know that she's distance wielding, but she can't have been distance wielding on the Isles, because there's no magic there. Too far, isn't it? Unless you don't need magic where you're going, you only need magic where you come from, but then how would she get back again?
There's so many things that it's still not completely clear.
Because we know that Venon can't channel when there's no magic, because Zayden couldn't.
Well, unless they maybe had like a snacks.
Yeah, a little
like
snacks.
A bag, yeah, full of alloys or something. They can channel from that.
Venon snacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could have worked, couldn't it? Because we do know that he channeled on Devarelli because of the alloy.
Yeah, but the interesting part as well is when Theophany was doing this distance wielding, the walls were in Basgayath. So how she was doing, because the Venon, apparently they shouldn't have power.
No, but she could have given her letter to Panchak.
No, but I'm talking about the beginning of Onyx Stone. When they were trying to rescue Jack Barlow, she was inside Basgayath and she disappeared. How she's using this much power.
Yeah, because they did say only lesser magic worked, didn't they? But maybe if you're just so powerful.
Yeah, maybe if I just...
If you're already on the inside, maybe... I don't know.
Again, if you're a Sejuan Maven, if you can just wield that much power, you will go straight away to attack Basgayath by yourself, because... We will see later on that just 12 of them destroy our whole city.
I'm not sure I fully understand how the wards work. I feel like there's some holes here, but there's probably, hopefully there's holes in my knowledge rather than holes in the plot. But you're right, like, it's not clear what the wards actually do, because some people can channel within the wards. It feels to me that it's something to stop the dragons rather than...
Yeah, because remember what Jack says, the world is not working as they told us how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
So it's not maybe, like you said, maybe not against Venice, it's more against dragons. So
yeah.
We've been saying from long time ago, maybe the world have been designed just to stop the dragons channeling from the sky, make them channel from the ground.
Yeah, something like that.
So we're back in Basgayath. Violet received a letter from Theophany that she'd been following then. And then we got other news as well, a sad one. The cat is one step closer from the crown of Paramil, because Queen Mariah is dead.
Yeah, when she first got that information, because she got that earlier, didn't she? And she's like, is Serena Cordella alive? I genuinely thought her sister was dead.
Yeah.
Like, the first thought was sister, and then I was like, wait, is it Takaris? I just never thought it'd be Queen, because the way it's written, like, one step closer to the crown, obviously it could mean the Queen's dead, but my first thought was Serena.
The person that you had in front.
Yeah, and then I thought, wait, Takaris, and then... Yeah, I just didn't think Queen Mariah until the end. I was obviously being stupid and just, like, rushing through it, but...
For me, it was a surprise, because I really liked Queen Mariah when we met her. And I thought we would see more of her, and she was, like, such a great ally for Violet. So I was expecting more from her. And then when, you know, Queen Mariah is there, I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And that was the end of chapter 43.
Yes.
Memoirs of Luzbel. She loved him. She lost him. And he came back. But wasn't completely him. She feared him. She fought him. But she fell for him. Memoirs of Luzbel. now available on Amazon.
Chapter 44.
Epigraph.
Buckle up. This is one of the most important epigraphs in this entire book, in this entire series. Mm-hmm. I am sure of it. Right. I've read this so many times. Your Majesty, unfortunately, I can find no law that supersedes the unification scrolls. The provincial commitment under Queen Alondra the Bold, 207.1, consolidating the province's armies under the Queen's standard for the Peromish conflict, expired with the Second Erasure Accord, and control of all forces should strike through, must return to the provinces from which they hail. I recommend demanding strike through, asking for a new provincial commitment covering our current conflict. The provinces will never agree after the rising conscription rates. My advice, do not anger Tirandor's Duke, who now commands the largest portion of our army. Strike through.
Screw this.
Strike through. I hate my job. Strike through. Unsent drafted correspondence of Colonel Agatha Mayfair, Royal Archivist.
Yes, the first time when I saw this epigraph, like, wow, that is quite long epigraph first.
It was nearly a whole page.
Like, yeah, and then like really strange because you straight away like, okay, there's so many clues here because those strikes, what she is trying to say, what is the message here?
I think people thought it was just too long and complicated and moved on. Why is nobody talking about this? So, like the reason I think it's the most important is that this is proof that the army is already fractured. So with the Second Erasure Accord, they essentially overwrote the original law from when there was obviously a queen at the time of the original Peromish the conflict between Navarre and Peromil. That said, all provinces of Navarre form a central army. With the Second Erasure Accord, and Zayden knew exactly what he was doing, and so did Brennan, whoever was drafting this Second Erasure Accord, they knew exactly what they were doing. That essentially overruled that, and now all conscripts or all citizens who fight in the army from a particular province are essentially their own army. So Zayden knows this, and we know that he's already trying to pull that stuff. He's saying, Mira, she's based at Erasure. So she is Erasian. All the Erasian riots kind of are part of my army. Mm-hmm. The others don't necessarily know that yet. So those who are fighting in Lucera, those that are fighting in Moraine, etc., they all form separate armies now, essentially. And so it's definitely going to be a conflict between Navarre and Tirandor. Mm-hmm. But what Navarre is, I'm just not sure anymore. Because the Navarrean army, it doesn't exist. You've got several pockets of army.
Yeah.
I think this is really important. And I read it, it took me ages to understand it the first time I read it. Because I got confused by the queen. And I was thinking, wait, the queen, and it says Peromish in there. So I was thinking it was Mariah's archivist. And it just took me ages to understand, but it mm-hmm. is the archivist of King Tauri.
Yes.
Advising him, but then being like, oh, this is just, there's nothing I can do about this. It's just totally dead in the water. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you must demand. And he's striked that out because he's realized King Tauri has absolutely no authority.
Yes. For me, what is clear about this epigraph is the delicate situation of King Tauri right now. The one wrong movement, and he will have a lot of provinces or even just Tirandor against him.
Yeah, and he's in his is the smallest province.
Yes.
He's in, what's it called?
Caldir.
Caldir, yeah. Yes. Tiny.
Yes, for me, this has been proved that we will see a second revolution from Tirandor. And I don't know if I will be Tirandor the first one to start this attack or something. But yeah, the days for King Taurin, I think, is just
dwindling. And yeah. This is why I don't necessarily think Auric is going to be king. I think Auric is going to be a general in the army, but I feel like, one, Auric has made it very clear he doesn't want it. Mm-hmm. And two, I do think that family is on the way out. Like, you see things like that, don't you? You see the end of a...
Yeah, you see that in real life. A king is just replaced, and then it's just somebody that, yeah, maybe has some power, some money, but has to go to another country because they don't want it in the same nation.
Mm.
So I think maybe Auric is going to be maybe the cleverest or all the Tauris, because he will stay in the army of Navarre. He will stay in Basgaiath, while maybe King Tauri and Holden, they will have to move to maybe one of the islands or somewhere else when they actually they can stay safe.
Yeah, I don't know that. Yes, I think Auric wouldn't be the general of... I don't think there is a Navarian army anymore. I think he would become a general of the Tirish army or something like that. Because he fully fights for Aurasia, doesn't he? He's part of the revolution.
Yes.
Yeah, I just... the continent is already broken. And this goes back to what the discussion at the Hedotis dinner table, where Kat said those two have the ability to break up the continent.
So we start this chapter with all the people who went to the islands. They are being interrogated for at least 12 hours. They're being separated. They are in separate rooms. And it was maybe looking bad until General Athos, for some reason, he says that he was really annoying because King Tauri was forgiven to everyone for all of this because he was just happy that Auric is back and he's fine. And Violet is like, oh, well, if that is happening, then I'm relieved now. This is just like maybe part of the punishment, but actually he can't do anything.
Yeah.
And he's just like, why?
Why admit that?
Yeah, I mean, you are in the shoes of this guy. He wants to make him believe that she's in trouble. He wants to believe that maybe the other one, they're going to get killed or something really bad is going to happen. Why on earth he was thinking to just leave that? So pissed off, the King Tauri don't let me punish these guys. They're like, forgive, like.
He could have like let them at least worry.
Yeah. I mean, if this is Varys doing it, he will just enjoy like this mental torture. But
Athos is an idiot.
Yeah, it's just I can't believe that this guy, like the general, that he's supposed to be like one of the really bad guys, but at the same time, this is just showing the how little he thinks.
Yeah.
So it's another thing that I don't know how to take General Athos.
I know.
Like a genius or the evil or just...
There was ages where we were like, yeah, he's the big bad guy.
And I was just like, oh my God.
I still think he's a bad guy. Like, I just don't... How has he got there? How has he managed to convince Melgren that he should be the general?
I think he was just in the right time with the right people because he was consulted with General Sorangel. So maybe everyone was thinking, this guy is a guy because he was always with General Sorangel. So he must know everything about this place. So he should be the one to run this place. But he actually is useless because even General Sorangel has to send us away because he was having such silly mistakes.
Yeah.
But during the interrogation, Marhan is there as well. Violet says that she can see his face. She can see the jealousies in Marhan's face because she's telling about all the stuff that she has seen in this journey through the islands, all the stuff that she has seen, all the knowledge that she was getting from these places, stuff that he didn't know that is there, the stuff that he would never know. And she was like, yeah, just like my father. This made me think, is it actually jealousy what he's feeling there? Or it's maybe concern because she is doing exactly the same journey that her father was doing. Maybe she's into something that Violet doesn't know yet, but Marhan maybe knows. because that's precisely one of the reasons that maybe Daddy Sorangel has to be eliminated.
I think it could be a bit of jealousy, but so you find with some people, they just like to know more than other people. Mm-hmm. And like mostly with secrets and things that are like, you know, when you find out somebody's having a baby or something, and the first thing someone says is, oh, finally, now I can talk about it. Mm-hmm. They're not like, oh, I'm so happy for you. They just say that because they want everyone to know that they knew first. Or that like,
special for a moment.
Yeah. Or like, oh, I'm so glad we can all now talk about it. When it's like that, isn't it? That type of person just likes to know things before everybody else. Doesn't matter what it is, but it's as long as it's a good juicy secret. And then the first thing they'll say when everybody knows is, oh, finally, I don't have to keep that a secret anymore, just to let everybody know. Anyway, I feel like Markham's one of these people, and he knows that he's been keeping all these amazing secrets about the venom, and he's like, he knew it all. And now more people know more secrets than he does. And he's losing control, and I think it's that. I don't know that it's a jealousy. I feel like it's a loss of control and a humiliation type feeling. But I like your take on it too. That's different in that we still think that he eliminated Daddy Sorangel.
Yes, I believe that he's been involved in the mysterious death of Daddy Sorangel. Somehow he managed to poison him. And that's why his heart felt. But for me, obviously, you talk as from the knowledge that you have. For Violet, she might think that, yeah, it must be jealousy because she knows him, that he loves secrets, he loves to have the control of everything. But there's so much secret that she doesn't know, and that maybe it's affecting her, that she's just like proud of herself because she's just thinking, oh, he's just jealous because I saw, I knew all of these things. But maybe he's just like, shit, she just fell on the center stairs, she will find out in the end, boom, this.
Yeah.
Okay, so after this interrogation, we're going back to Battle Brief. So we are there with the Verum. The first thing that Violet noticed is the map, and half of Croftland is all red, which means they has fallen in Venom power. And she can't understand how that happened so fast and with so little Venom, because she doesn't think that just a few Venom can overtake them that much land. And actually, there's some people that say the same, that no, it's impossible. They just 12 Venom, when they're saying, were managed to take the city. So this is a little bit strange for me, because who is lying here? It's just leadership. It's not telling that how many more Venoms are outside. And there's way more than we think. Because maybe they think there's just a few. But actually, it's a full army that's able to overtake a city. Or it's just that they're not saying how much power they have. Because apparently, only 12 managed to kill more than 20,000 people.
I've got another idea. So I get the question's slightly different, but this is like the land drained. So the land is being drained now, like rapidly. I wonder if outside the wards, the dragons and the griffins are channeling from the ground, but the magic is wilder and they can get more of it. So they're contributing because they're fighting on the other side of the wards, and they're also draining the land. So I wonder if the fighting and all this magic fight is actually draining the land quicker because they're outside the wards. So the wards must do something to, yes, they stop it channeling from the sky, but do they also limit what they can take from the ground? So dragons are more powerful outside because the magic feels wilder and it's stronger and you can feel it beneath their feet. And actually the reason the land is getting drained so quickly is because the dragons are also taking it, and the griffins.
So another interesting point of view to see it, yeah.
But Krovla, still miraculously fine. So there's like a lot of talk that Krovla will fall in book four. I genuinely don't think it will. My question is, when will people start getting suspicious of Takaris? He's now the king of Poromiel, and he's still sitting down in Krovla.
Yeah.
Unarmed. And, well, it's not unarmed. He's got his flyers there, but you know what I mean.
If other one and they just want to go there, they can just destroy everything, like piece of cake. But they never go there.
They never go there because he's bloody Venon.
Yeah, Terwin.
It's so obvious to me. Yeah, Terwin.
Yes, it's incredible that nobody ever, like, in this book are thinking it's a little bit suspicious that Takaris is always living in this massive palace, like, no massive weapons or army or anything to defend it. And nothing happens.
And they've, like, skirted around him. I know that it's, like, no offense to Cornwall, but if you wanted to get anywhere in the UK, you wouldn't go via Cornwall. And this is very niche, like, you understand the UK geography. It's, like, right at the bottom. It's a beautiful place. And that is, like, yes, it's touristy, but mostly unruined because it takes such a long time to get there. And I think Cawdon is the Cornwall of the continent, and
yeah.
You go there on holiday. But yeah, I feel like it's so obvious that if he's not Venon, he's blooming made a deal with one of them, hasn't he, to keep his house safe.
Yes, it's definitely has a deal with the Venon. Either he is one of them,
Bowen.
Yes,
Takara, Terwin.
Terwin. Or. Had an agreement. Gus know what he is trading with the Venon and changed that they're not going to destroy their city or don't do anything to him. But yeah, it's definitely something that is just clear. Yeah. So in this battle brief, we start to see the Wyverns and the Venon. They just appear from nowhere. They can't understand how, because there were a few of them. And they start to see, and there was because there was a storm. The storm was moving to the city, and they were flying within and the storm.
Yeah.
Then Violet started to put all the pieces together, and then she realized that Theophany was the one who was with them, because she is lightning wielder, and she will be able to manage all the lightning so they can fly safely, because Violet said that she could do that. Theophany is an expert. She could do even more than her.
Well, yeah, but we know she's not a lightning wielder, don't we? We know she's a weather wielder. But
at this point, we all knew, or we thought that actually Theophany was a lightning wielder.
Yeah.
That she was Violet match from the Venon side. And yes, this was something that maybe we start to see how powerful she was. And then we start to see that, yes, she was a maven. She's not just a regular Venon. She has to be a maven to do this kind of stuff. After the battle brief, they're talking. So Rihanna was pushing Sawyer to make him go back to the flying field. Sawyer is still not sure about it because it's the climbing the dragon that he's still saying that he's not sure. That he said that if he is sitting in the dragon, he thinks that he will be fine because he's just working with the tides. But it's the climbing that he's still not sure. And Violet is telling him that, I completely understand, because this place is just pushing the people to be perfect, and sometimes you are not fitting that standard. So Violet understands very well, and she offers the help. There's anything that she can do, just ask.
Yeah.
And I think this is when we start to see that Sawyer understands why Violet is saying it, that she actually wants to help, and later on we'll see that he actually takes her word.
This whole thing made me really suspicious of Sleeg. Not in a bad way, but just like, Sleeg is definitely not 10, and Sawyer says Sleeg is not 10.
Mm-hmm.
He won't make adjustments.
Yes.
Especially when he took the risk of bonding with a repeat. Do you think Sleeg brings that up all the time? Feels like Sawyer's got a complex about it. Do you think Sleeg is like, oh, the repeat? Or feel like Sleeg is really serious and maybe as proud as Tern, but not as accepting as Tern?
Well, Sleeg is a red dragon, and the red ones are a little bit temperamental.
Angry.
Yes.
Not temperamental. Orange ones are temperamental.
No, orange are unpredictable.
Oh, yeah.
So I think red ones are temperamental, orange unpredictable, green ones are like the wisest,
intelligent.
Black
brown
ones,
and boring.
Brown shit.
Brown's boring.
Blue, they are vicious, I guess. Black, they are just proud, too proud, I guess.
Curmudgeons. So yeah, I don't know what I just got the feeling that Sleeg maybe constantly reminds Sawyer, and it felt like there's a few times where Sleeg isn't talking to Sawyer or isn't channeling to Sawyer, mm-hmm. or it feels like there's something, and I wondered maybe if it's not bad, maybe it's not that he's ashamed of Sawyer, perhaps he's ashamed of himself because Sawyer lost his leg protecting Sleeg, mm-hmm. and Sleeg possibly feels like he should have protected his rider, and that it's actually Sleeg's his own fault that his rider lost his leg, because I don't know, that I just got some feeling that something was off between Sawyer and Sleeg,
yeah.
and perhaps it's that he's so proud that he's ashamed that he couldn't cover his own back, couldn't cover his rider's leg.
Yeah, I had the same feeling. There's something going on between them, but I don't know if it's just because Sleeg thinks that Sawyer is just maybe disappointment because lost the leg and no, it's not a rider, a full rider anymore. Or it's maybe because Sawyer is the one who is putting the excuses and he's not trying harder enough to go back to be a full rider.
Yeah. I'm glad that he does get back on the dragon, mm-hmm. but there is still a part of me that, like, Rebecca Yarros said in the interview when we saw her in London, that Sawyer has a very important character arc and she's like setting that up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's not known, like he knows now that Zayden is a Venon, and there's not 5 months between now and the end of the book.
Mm-hmm.
Is there? We really need to be on the lookout for the timeline. But time is going quite slow because she's saying in this stretch of chapters, she says she's only had her power for about a year. That is bonkers because I think Iron Flame takes place over about 6 months, doesn't it?
Threshing is always the
October 1st.
October. And then she took
she channeled in February or March.
February or March, yeah. It's still winter, the very first time when she channeled. So
in
it's right now the end of March.
Fourth wing.
Yes, and fourth wing.
Yeah, so 6 months it took them to like December, didn't it? End of Iron Flame. And now they're only in March.
Mm-hmm.
When does this book end? That's the question. It's not long, is it? So Sawyer isn't the brother, basically.
Yeah.
Just trying to say.
No. The Zayden said, after Simi struggling for 5 months.
Exactly.
So we're talking about basically from the moment when Zayden turned into a Venon. So it has to be
Bodhi, Garrick,
or Imogen. But Imogen, she was in the end with Violet, so it can't be her.
Yeah.
Or, well, we don't know. Maybe Imogen is there as a Venon, but then she just stays.
No. Rebecca Yarros said pay attention to who's missing.
Who's
at
missing,
the end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Auric. But again, Auric doesn't cover the 5 months unless he knows that.
And he haven't seen Zayden struggling.
Well, unless of the.
Unless you count the stuff in the islands as a struggle, but.
Or the premonition.
Mm-hmm.
Unless he's precogged it. And he's. Yeah. Anyway, I'm just trying to rule Sawyer out here. Although we know that Sawyer has a very important character arc. The only other thing that that could be, well, not the only other thing, there's loads of things that Rebecca Harris could throw, but one of the things is his link to the narrator. Mm-hmm. Because he, if we think, we've got to remember Jacinia is narrating this. Sawyer is dating Jacinia as far as you could date someone in the middle of this.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're just like properly dating or just a star. Maybe
they're
like
writing letters to each other.
Yeah, you see that at some point they were like next to the fire together, sharing a blanket.
In Iron Flame.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're together. Mm-hmm. And you got to remember that. Like, what is the narrator doing?
Yeah. So here, the full group, what they're talking, they're going to the archives looking for Jacinia. So Riddock asks for a private room. Once they're in the room is when he gives the look to Violet. Or you tell them, or I will. So Violet's like, oh, well, it is what it is now. So
either I trust my friends or I don't.
Yeah. So she say, Zayden is turning Venom slowly. And then Rhee is wetting the eyes and like talk. So straight away, like good friends there.
She
would trust from the beginning. And that is the end of this chapter as well. So chapter 45.
Yes. Epigraph. I think I started falling for you the night in the tree when I watched you with the marked ones, but I began tumbling the day you gave me Tern's saddle. You'll give some self-serving excuse, but the truth is you're kinder than you want people to know, maybe kinder than you know. Recovered correspondence of Cadet Violet Soaringale to His Grace Lieutenant Zayden Ryerson, 16th Duke of Tirindor.
This is just basically Violet pointing out Zayden's actually personality, that he likes to help people. He obviously, he's in the position that he has a lot of people that he need to protect, like the 107 Mark ones that he's directly responsible, and obviously Arasha and Tirindor. But Violet knows that deep, he is a person that he really cares for the people he has around, and if he has the chance to help, he will.
Yeah. Oh, I just want to reread Fourth Way again now. Although I can't, because I did promise myself I would read three books off my TBR before I read anything either again or get anything new. And I'm like nearly at the end of From Ash and Blood and I am obsessed. So I'm obviously going to chain the next four books and then the new one when it comes out in June.
I still read them for Wind in Spanish, but I'm doing it when I had like extra time from my phone and my Kindle. And gosh, I don't know if it's because of my phone, but it takes ages when you are reading. You feel that you are like forever in just one chapter.
Yeah. So, I don't like Kindle on my phone just because it's just like staring at your phone. It's worse than doom scrolling, even though it's not like. It shouldn't be worse, but it feels like I'm staring at my phone for such a long time. Yeah. It feels better on a Kindle or on a book. But I want to read the scene in the tree again. I know that she like dips into the shadows, and actually they're his shadows. He's keeping her hidden from the rest of the marked ones. So there's so much that like once you know and you reread that scene, it's so cool.
Yeah, I read that part a couple of weeks ago, and even when she is hiding in the shadows, she can feel the wrinkle in the head. She can feel it. So really Zayden is reading the intentions right there.
It's just a really clever foreshadowing. And then just the fact that he manages to give her this saddle and still treats her like a powerful woman. He doesn't at any point do it the way that Dane would do it. I mean, like you're going to keep falling off. You're terrible. Your reliability. You're going to kill yourself. I'm only keeping you safe. That kind of thing. Whereas Zayden does it like.
Just giving her a tool. So she can focus on other stuff like lightning or. Triton. Yeah.
And I know that that Mira has a part to play in that. She's like,
if you are my trolls, make sure that she doesn't fall.
Yeah, yeah. Find a way. Also, we get this epigraph here for a reason, don't we? Because Zayden is still brooding, and halfway through this chapter, Violet says, oh, if he's brooding, I'm just going to take a leaf out of his book and then start writing him letters. We've covered our thoughts on recovered correspondence in the past, but yeah, tend to think they were either hidden or they were Basgaioth is destroyed, and not that it doesn't definitely mean that they're going to die. They might, but
actually, we don't know the timeline after they found the letters and the story. So maybe this is part of the museum and
somebody's last research.
So we start this chapter with a nightmare, and now we know there is no Violet's nightmare. It's actually Zayden's. There's the one having this nightmare.
Yeah, but we know that now, but we didn't know that at the time of reading this the first time.
Yes.
But even though it's obvious.
Yeah.
Lightning strikes in the distance. So that's obviously Violet over fighting. There.
Plus, something is strange here. He's saying, I'm going to let you to help her this time.
Yeah.
Help her with what? Because he's talking now, obviously he's talking to Zayden, saying they will allow to help Violet. But the strange part is because Violet is trying to find a cure for him. So in what concept or what is the subject here for Berwyn say, I'm going to allow you to help her?
Kill Theophany. This is foreshadowing for the giant mushroom cloud of shadow at the end. I'll let you help her this time. Boom! Strike a cheek, kill Theophany. Mm-hmm. Berwyn doesn't give shit about Theophany. They don't like each other.
No, they don't.
So he's going to let him help her, kill Theophany, helps Berwyn as well. They're on the edge of Drathus. Like, the flames are going, this is like a premonition of Drathus, in my opinion. I don't know that that's confirmed, but it feels like that's what it is. And then when we were first reading it, I will let you help her this time, we thought he was talking to Violet. So who did we think she was going to help?
The very first time when I was reading, I thought he was talking about Theophany. He was talking directly to Violet and say, I'm going to allow you to help Theophany. Oh, it's like, don't forget that you are mine.
Yeah, that's probably what I thought too. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But again, in this part, now that we know that it's Zayden, there's the one having this nightmare. Violet, she is only thinking, find the cure. She's not even thinking that much about Theophany. Mm. So that's why I'm thinking, at this point, what is Berwyn thinking? There's Violet near that Zayden can help with.
Yeah.
But something that caught my attention as well, because when she says, well, if I don't want to do it, like, come with you, he takes a sword from the robes, and the sword is the sword of Tirindor. So is this maybe a symbol, something, the sage that we know is Berwyn? It's from Tirindor, maybe, because that sword is related, like, exclusively for Tirindor.
Yeah. So we don't think that he is Zayden's granddad, right? Because is he not too old for that?
We don't know exactly what is the age of Berwyn, but we have constantly reference about the tan arm.
Yeah.
That will give it some reference, maybe we say them because he's tan as well. But that's why was one of the reference for me. There could be Tekaros as well, because Tekaros,
he's tan. Yeah, it could be Zayden's granddad. I guess the thing that we need to be on the watch out for is how he responds to Sir Gael at the end.
Not just in the end, when they're fighting an Iron Flame, when Sagel was having this discussion with Zayden, I choose you, don't do it, it's fighting.
Yeah, she could have been talking to him.
Yes, that's something that we were thinking before. Yeah. That maybe she was talking this to Berwyn, you know, to Zaydan, because they're still the bond, they're still connected.
Yeah, but I don't know.
But even at the end of this book, when Berwyn is saying that he was about to kill Sagel so he can get free from the dragon, there's no interaction or something to make you think that Sagel is looking at Berwyn, or they have like a kind of relationship.
There's no clues. But it does make sense. Like, if you would have the sword, there's so many hints that it could be his granddad, isn't there?
Yes.
Yeah.
The only thing that it doesn't match for me for saying yes is definitely Zayda's granddad is those two moments in interaction with Sagel. It seems that there's nothing there.
Other.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, like, there's no hate. There's no awkward. There's just nothing.
Yeah.
Unless then maybe Rebecca wants to do it that way to not make it too obvious.
Yeah.
And then just come on the next book with something.
It could be as simple as Sigale's eyes narrowed on Berwyn. Like, that could be with anger, that could be with, and then when you read it again, you're like, oh, they narrowed because she was like, it's you. But you wouldn't necessarily leap to that conclusion. But the more I read Iron Flame, if you go back to our Iron Flame episodes, I was definitely suspicious that Berwyn was Grandad Zaydan, Grandad Ryerson. So let's not forget that. Like, I do think he's like very, very high on the suspect list.
I was convinced that it was Zaydan's grandpa until the end of this book, when Panchek was telling her, "I'm the only one who can tell you where your son is," or something like this. So Berwyn, he has a son.
I'm sure this is just the way they talk about their recruits.
No, I think definitely it's talking about a specific person, because
he said I have another one now,
like, to tell me.
He's not had a baby, has he?
No, but I think he's referring that I have another one to tell me how to find my son, not I replace my son.
Oh, I read it like he'd replaced his son.
No, and the way that I read it was that Panchek is the only one who can tell where the son is. And then Berwyn would say, aha, another one that can tell me. Another one.
Okay, that's interesting.
You are not the only one now. You have not that power now.
Yeah, I'm going to have to read that, obviously, again. And we do have to read the end of the book before our live episode. However, I read it like, I'm the only one who could give you access to Jack Barlow, who's like your like baby Venon. And then he's like, I don't need Jack Barlow anymore. I've got another son. I think you can read it both ways.
Mm.
And then because it's all because Jack calls Zaydan, I guess we're brothers now.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, oh, there's another brother. I feel like it's just the way they talk about each other. Yeah. If Violet turned Venon and she went to Theophany would be her Venon mother. Like, that's how I just feel. Like, because of the Jack interaction with Zaydan saying, guess we're brothers now. That's why I read it like that, I think.
Yeah. We definitely have to read it more than now. We're going to do this live event on Instagram. Mm-hmm. We're going to focus on the end or Onyx Storm. So we can have a look to that. It's basically by the end.
Mm-hmm.
And then have a look by the time that we actually do the deep dive.
On the 24th of May.
Yes. So if you have an Instagram account, we will see you the 24th of May at 10 p.m. UK time.
Which is 5 p.m. Eastern time if you're in America. And then obviously if you're not in Eastern time, that's easier to translate, I think, for Americans than it is.
Yes.
From UK time. yeah. on a Saturday.
We're going to put a countdown on our Instagram account. Mm-hmm. So just go there, have a look, because you will see it in our profile.
Yes. So there's some things I want to talk about in the stream that Berwyn says. He says, such emotion. Don't worry, it will fade in time. And that's a reference to obviously the Venonism and it's taking over and the emotion will fade.
Yes.
Again, I really don't think it will with Zayden because I think that's part of his soul. Just a more general point about this dream that I don't think, and we said earlier in the episode that possibly Theophany was communicating with Lilith in dreams, and we do get at this flight maneuvers class that happens after this, we get reference to like circles under Zayden's eyes.
Yes.
And we've always had reference to circles under Lilith's eyes, so that could be a sign that she was being communicated to in dreams. I just come
the
back. I think only Berwyn can do it.
But Theophany was doing it maybe with Lilith.
Yeah, but maybe. Mm. But when Rebecca Yarros talked about Violet's signet and said she's only used about 10% and there's only one person who can teach her, mm-hmm. I feel like this dream walking is a signet, not a general venom power like distance wielding. And I don't even think it's just dream walking. I think I'm convinced that she's going to be able to mind walk. I think I'm convinced she's a full intrinsic. She can go in someone's mind and manipulate their actions. And I think she's been doing it unknowingly. I think she can manipulate a dragon's intentions as well.
Remember when we used to guess about Violet Signet, that one of the it was maybe amplified because when she wants something like really badly, it happens from somebody. So maybe that's something with the signet as well. Mm-hmm. If it's a mind walking, they're just going in unintentionally and the mind of the person is asking for something or giving that
make them do
push,
it.
Make it do it. Rihanna, when she was on the other side of the door, grabbing the dagger, something that she'd never done before. But it was like looking at her and like, I need you to help me somehow. Or with Mira, when Mira trying to make her own world protect him when they were with Tekaros.
I do think that those things were like stress, secondhand stress. I don't think it's to do with her signet, but I like the idea.
Yeah, they're just giving like a little boost.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She didn't even realize about it.
Yeah.
So she wake up and then she realizes it's just a nightmare, it's not real, I need to just chill out, need to relax. Then she starts to feel the turn and down and they're sleeping. She can feel as well the Zayden is sleeping. So that's why she can go into his mind because the shields are down. But there's a fog that I'm guessing this. That's how it feels when he's sleeping. But this made me think as well, if somebody is sleeping, obviously the shield will be down because it's now mentally put in there. But then Zayden, with the intense power that he's getting, he will be able as well to maybe to see the dreams of the person if the person had the shields down. Because it's basically reading the mind or whatever is happening inside the mind. And if that person in that moment is dreaming, he will be able to hear it or see it.
Yeah, I'm not sure that that would work with intentions, but I do think his signet's evolved by now and he's starting to read thoughts. So I think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he would
as
now.
As intention, yeah. Intentions now. Intentionally, he will be snoring.
Intentions, yeah. You do. I'm not sure you dream with intention. I think you just dream because it's your brain. Yeah.
No, I'm talking about right now.
His full intensive. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, that's really interesting. It comes back as well to the point about the in the Codex where it's like doing anything to a rider while they're sleeping is strictly forbidden. I think it just talks about killing a rider in their sleep is like punishable by death. But also kind of shows you how vulnerable a rider is in sleep because they're not able to shield.
Yes. So it would be interesting to see if I maybe say that he will be able to do it in next books.
Mm-hmm.
We go into fly maneuvers and we see Kaori that he's back. And then now they're practicing a new technique that's basically
they're flying in the dragon. They had to jump out of the dragon. They had to run. They had to attack. And then they had to go back to the dragon. So the dragon doesn't land. That's basically the part they had to do. There's a few people, they're doing great. Other ones, they have some broken bones. And Violet is the one that's saying like, oh shit, I'm not going to be able to do that. But then you see that she's cooking something with Tern. And then like you said at the beginning, some stuff that they normally they used to do in Four Wings.
Yeah, yeah. Can we talk about what everybody does?
Yeah.
I want to go through them. Right, so Bodhi goes first. And Bodhi is nearly perfect, in Violet's words. Kaur banks around. We find out here that Kaur is, by proxy, we find out that Kaur is quite a big dragon because he can't turn around quick enough and he smashes the boulders. And while Bodhi does it really well, Kaur obviously doesn't. And then Kiri says, like, the smaller dragons are have an advantage.
They have an advantage, yes.
And then there's this thing where she's like, oh, nearly perfect. And I forget how, like, amazing he is. And then Zayden says, well, he's my cousin. Obviously, he's amazing. But this again, like, Bodhi did as well as he could be, but everyone forgets how impressive he is. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone forgets how important he could be. This is another tick in the Bodhi box for me. And although it's really minor, it's another tick in the Bodhi as the brother box. And she says, oh, maybe I chose the wrong cousin. Mm-hmm. And he said, it would be a shame to kill my last living relative.
Yeah.
Are we just going to ignore this as a foreshadowing? Is Zayden going to have to kill Bodhi? I'm just going to ask the question. Just going to say it.
I mean, if a Bodhi, it turns Vannin as well. I don't know if he will be as strong as Zayden. Because maybe that was one of the reasons for him to turn to Vannin, is that maybe Zayden was under control, but then he will get just crazy. He won't be able
Bodhi
to stop it.
Bodhi is ultra powerful and nobody recognizes that.
That's something that, you know, is strange. We'll be so desperate to find out who is the new brother for Zayden, but we're not talking about what's going to happen to that new brother, because it's more likely it's not going to be exactly the same situation as Zayden, because this new brother, it was channeling maybe because it was hunger powered, because it wasn't enough.
Yeah, it was the one. Yeah, exactly. So Bodhi might be bad.
Yeah, it might loosen their soul. Like,
we never trusted, we didn't really trust Bodhi, did we, before? And now I just feel sorry for him.
Remember from Iron Flame, when I found out what he was, his signet, I was saying, oh, this is going to be the perfect villain against Zayden, because now Zayden can't use the shadows against him.
Yeah.
And then if they had to fight, they have to be like hand to hand, because the signet, they were not going to do anything. Yeah. So maybe that's going to be.
Yeah, the one thing though Zayden always had was the reason Zayden had the edge was because he didn't know about his intrinsic. So he always knew what Bodhi was going to do. Mm-hmm. So hand to hand, he couldn't even beat Bodhi. He could beat Bodhi. But Bodhi was... So if you think about that from Bodhi's perspective, he should have been a perfect match for him because he should have been able to counter the signet and that's that. Mm-hmm. But he still couldn't beat him on the mat and he didn't know why. And it's frustrating because maybe Bodhi could be a better fighter, but because Zayden knows what he intends to do next, he's never going to beat him.
Yeah.
So it must be so frustrating for Bodhi. And I feel for him. He's like, doesn't want to be kept at home. He doesn't want to be the spare. He doesn't want to be seen as second best to Zayden because he might not be second best. He's nearly perfect. So that was Bodhi's attempt. Anyway, next up is Rhi, I think.
Yeah.
Rhi, like, nothing to write home about. She's amazing. Or maybe it is something to write home about. No, no extra special. Right, so then Violet goes after Rhi. What happens to Imogen? Does Imogen do it?
It's not mentioned here, so...
And she wiped everyone... Maybe she didn't do it and she wiped everyone's memories. She should be there, right?
I think she was there, or no, I think she was in Battle Brief, but I can't remember. See her.
Maybe she failed. My yeah, maybe. Maybe she failed.
Yes.
And wiped everyone's memories.
I did amazingly.
Yeah, I wasn't there. That's interesting. Another one.
Yeah.
So Violet went. What Violet does is Tern kind of flicks her off his back. Oh, she slides off his back. She's falling. Mm-hmm. He grabs her by the shoulders.
Yeah.
With his talons. Like, I don't know how. Like, it's massive dragon. Doesn't just puncture through the ribs.
With the talons. Like,
yeah. Grabs her. Yeah. The little tweezers. And then places her on the ground, and it does hurt her. Mm-hmm. And she like zappos the illusion. Mm-hmm. And then gets picked up again, thrown in the air, and then lands on his back. And this is exactly what they did after threshing, isn't it?
Yes. Well, that's what they used to do all the time when they were flying. Mm-hmm. She fall, she just grab and toss in the air, put her in the back.
Kaori looks like he wants to protest, but then Zayden kind of, he gives up.
Well, Kaori said, like, well, that's a little bit...
It was unconventional.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then it says it looks like he wants to protest and say, like, you can't do it like that. But Zayden kind of says something and then it's forgotten.
Yeah.
Auric. Now, this, like, just shows how much better Auric is than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Auric lands perfectly off of Molvik on the ground, throws his axe towards Kaori,
mm-hmm.
and the illusion disappears. Goes away.
Yeah.
So he is, and then they're like, I think he won, mm-hmm. and re-agrees. It's two things, like, I'm going to do an unhinged reason why this might be what he did. The first one is not unhinged. It is just he is much more intelligent than everyone else. Everyone was doing the task. They hit the illusion because that's what they were supposed to do. Auric thought, hang on, this is the illusion. I need to hit the rider. I need to hit the source of the illusion. So he did that and it worked really well. Another theory, which is like the unhinged one, is that Kaori is bad and Auric has seen this and he is like giving him a warning.
No, Kaori.
Why was Kaori doing the med tent after threshing if he didn't want to like get closer to Violet? Why does he leave his book lying around?
Mm-hmm.
Why is he like called the Dragon Watcher from like the dragons? I don't know.
It was daytime when they were doing the maneuvers, isn't it?
Yeah. I did think that.
You know, seeing Kaori always at nighttime.
Unfortunately, I think it's the first one. I think that Auric is just really clever, but...
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be cool if Kaori was...
Maybe he just saw how to win. Like, just having flashes of the signet or something.
Yeah, I think he did.
So we finish the class and people are leaving, and then Kaori, he wants to like maybe say something, and then he sees a red dragon that just landed, and that calls Kaori's attention, and he just go away to see this.
It's Felix's dragon, right?
Yes, it's Felix's dragon.
Do they know each other, or is he just like, ooh, new dragon to study?
Maybe he didn't remember who it was, because when I was reading this, I saw a red dragon morning star tail. So I was like, oh, it's exactly the same as Tern.
Oh, was it?
Yes. That's why I found it weird, this dragon, because I thought I never saw this dragon before. And then it's when Felix arrives.
So like, oh, scorpion that tail.
No, it's a morning star tail as well. So that's why Kaori is like, oh, never seen this one before.
I think Kaori would probably know Felix, though.
Yeah, probably from a long, long time ago. And maybe he saw that and he knew it was Felix. And like Felix, like, what he's doing here.
Not that long. It's just 6 years, isn't it?
It was exactly when the revolution happened, or maybe before the revolution. Don't know how long Felix has been working with Felix, isn't it?
Yeah, but Felix was probably in... Well, it was in the army. He would still have been in Navarre's army. Yeah. They don't get on, do they? But, I wondered if Kaori knew Felix.
But yeah, it's in this moment when Kaori leaves, the Violet takes advantage to give in a gift to Zayden because it's his birthday. And he gives her a piece of onyx from, it's coming directly from Arasia. So she wants basically to say that has something from Arasia with him all the time.
Yeah.
To make her feel at home.
Yeah. This bracelet has got to come back, hasn't it? It's another one. So Mira has a bracelet now from Granny Daxton. Zayden has a bracelet. Like, at the very least, this is going to serve to remind him who he is at his darkest point. Mm-hmm. He's going to look at this bracelet and he's going to remember Violet gave it to him. Arasia is his home. It's going to remind him of home. And he's, on several occasions, called Violet his home.
Yeah.
So it's going to, that is the very least that it will do in the series, I'm sure of it.
Mm-hmm.
The very most, it could do more than that. So onyx represents like protection. It represents like absorbing bad energy. And that's how, like, why like people wear onyx in the real world. So why would it not, could it not protect him somehow in this book?
Yes.
You don't know kind of what magic is in Ryerson House. We know that it's like riddled with runes. So possibly there's something from the house in this bracelet. I don't think it's an innocent present. I think it's going to play a bigger role. And the size of that role, I mean, it could do anything, couldn't it? But yeah, in my opinion, as a minimum, it's going to remind him of home.
Yes, something that we need to remember about Zayden, that he with all his, this kind of a bad guy vibe and all that kind of stuff, he's actually a person that he really keeps the stuff that means something for him. Yes, like he's keeping the blanket from his mom. He's keeping the stone that given the mark when his father was executed in front of him. So this gift from Violet, there's going to be something with a lot of heavy sentimental value for him. So yeah, I think as well that it will play a bigger role later on. So as we said before, the red dragon from before, it was Felix. So he arrives. Zayden and Violet, they're really surprised to see him there because he was saying before that he will never go to Basgaiath. But he has business to do there. So first thing, he given a missive to Zayden when we found out that another wyvern crossed the walls in Arasia. And this one managed to go closer to the previous one, which is saying that the walls are failing, the wyverns are noticing, and they're getting closer and closer. So that's another of the reasons that Zayden is so concerned, because he knows that time is ticking. Felix, another of the reasons to be there is to train her, because she's not getting anything from Carr. And Violet's feeling a little bit guilty and say, well, though, you didn't have to come here because I can go there in a month. They had to go to Arasia for training.
In a month.
And yes, that's what Felix says. And she says, oh.
Yeah. So we still don't know what Felix, and I know this is bad and we're supposed to talk about the wards, but I am so intrigued by Felix. Why do I think he's so attractive? Do you know who?
Attractive?
Yeah. He's like slightly older, isn't he? But I don't know why. Yeah. I he's just so cool. Felix is just so cool. You know who, like, I'm excited to see who they cast as Felix. This is a really weird thing to say. We also still don't know what his signet is.
Yeah, it has to be something with metal, I guess. But
yeah, I think either that, or I still think he could be a truthsayer.
I find it really suspicious when Violet was just telling his stuff just like that.
Yeah.
Like secrets.
Yeah.
And he was just like expecting that she would say that.
Yeah. I don't mean a truthsayer like a lie detector. I feel like one that you just like, he can get them to tell secrets. And that's how he knew about the revolution. That's how he knew about the venom. That he was dangerous.
Even though he was banned.
Yeah.
Being Basgaiath.
We do know that he was one of the most powerful, one of the six most powerful riders in Arasia, and we still have the like epigraph that says truth sayers are more dangerous than
Intensics.
Intensics.
Mm-hmm.
there's got to be a truth there. We don't know what Suri. We know Kylan is a Aguarian.
Aguarian, yes.
Yeah. So I just want to learn more about Felix, not just because I think he's obviously an attractive man, but he's just so cool.
Yeah. I mean, it reminds me a little bit of Tarn, to be honest. For me, he's just the human version of Tarn because he's funny sometimes as well.
Yeah.
So can we Violet.
Yeah.
And yes, that was the end of the chapter.
So, Oryx Auguries, the part of the show where we talk about our favourite theories from this week.
Mm-hmm.
In a bid to stitch them together just before book four comes out to see how wildly wrong we can be. What's your favourite one?
I'm thinking that Sol means something from Berwyn. So I'm guessing that he is from Tirindor, or he's somehow he's related to Tirindor.
Yeah. Zayden's grandpappy. No.
I would be disappointed if it's going to be Zayden's grandfather, but somebody related to Ryerson House. Maybe not by blood, but somebody important from Tirindor. What about yours?
Favorite unhinged one is that Kaori can't be trusted. My favorite, I guess something I want to see more of is the bracelet. I like the idea that the bracelet is going to remind Zayden of home and that of Violet and of chocolate cake on the roof. Although, as Violet says, it's a bit too soon for chocolate cake. You know, it's his birthday.
Yeah.
So, sticking with the theme of precognition, shall we look at the epigraph for next week, for chapter 46?
Yeah.
When this is over, we should take as much leave as they'll give us and spend it all in Erasia. We can figure out what life is supposed to look like without the daily threat of death. You can govern the province you love during the day, then slide into bed with me at night, or I can always join you in the assembly chamber. You do some of your best work on that throne. Recovered correspondence of Cadet Violet Sorengeld to His Grace Lieutenant Zayden Ryerson, 16th Duke of Tirindor.
I wonder what she's talking about.
We both like a grin. So we can dive into that next week, can't we?
I mean, it's obviously that she wants another session on my chair.
Yeah. Shall we enter the interrogation chamber?
Okay, let's go to the interrogation chamber.
Last week, we asked, we've been to all the Isles now. Which army do you want on your side?
Definitely the one from Dune. For me, those guys are just the elite of army. If they manage to beat Zayden, they're just amazing. I mean, if it's not because Violet was intervening, but hand to hand, that beefcake will just defeat Zayden. No doubt about it. What about you?
So I wouldn't pick them because they're only out for themselves. Mm-hmm. We've found out in the past that they pulled out because they weren't getting what they agreed for. I think they're sly. I think they don't actually care about the outcome. They just want to get what they want.
Mm-hmm.
So I would. I think you choose poorly.
You asked me, which one will you choose? I chose this one. There were no conditions.
Well, no, like, which one would you choose? I'm not changing the rules. I'm saying that I feel like your choice is bad.
Okay, why would you choose?
Zelna, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather be lucky. 40,000 strong troops as well, and they're coming to fight. And we know that the negotiations went more strongly in the favour of Oryk. So I feel like you want somebody fighting because they believe it's the right thing to do, not because they're going to get something out of it.
Well, this just reminds me of that scene from 300, that you need to bring soldiers, not just people. They're not that good.
Wait and see. Let's see how they do, because they're going to arrive soon, aren't they, in book four?
Well, we don't know, because if other people from Sinisa, it took God knows how long to arrive in the
Yeah, well,
they're
going to have to come on boat. Have they even got
how
enough
many
boats?
Yeah. They have to wait to come back and then bring more.
Well, we do suspect that the Zelni have managed to harness the power of the water somehow, so they might be able to get
surfing.
Yeah.
From
yeah. Arrive in Decord.
Yeah.
They might be able to surf, ride on the Kraken.
Yeah. That one as well.
Yeah. Right. This week, it's Zayden's birthday, and it's too soon for chocolate cake. What are you buying our Shadow Daddy for his special day? You can custom make him something. You can buy him anything. Modern World or Navarre. Anything.
Okay.
The, like, sky's the limit.
Something that I need to think about.
Yeah. Well, you got a week to think about it. Okay. That is all for this week. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Faithfully Fantasy Pod. We're most active on Instagram, so come and join the conversation. We'd love to hear your theories. So if you've got a theory, send it our way. We always try to give credit on the show and on socials because, let's be honest, the best theories come from all of you.
And with this, we have just one more thing to say. Thank you for listening to Faithfully Fantasy,
the husband and wife podcast talking all things Onyx Storm.
We'll see you next week with more theories, more deep dives, and of course, with more Faithfully Fantasy.
Bye.